You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome to my show, The Lawyer of Attraction, on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. It's another week, and I have got another great guest, somebody that I just met in the last week that has been on Royce Christian's show, Scripting Your Life. Now, everybody, if you can get Sky Network, which is over in England, and you can Google how to do that, Royce Christian has such a great weekly primetime show on literally how to script your life, and he's got some great experts on. And I was fortunate enough to be one of those, and so was my next guest. Her name is Dr. Toni Camacho. She has her PhD in psychology, as well as she's an herbalist, she's a nutritionist, she's a Reiki master, and she literally has put it all together. She calls herself multidimensional because she works with different modalities, but I also think she's multidimensional because I think she's shifting through dimensions because she works and she does such amazing work. So I am so thankful that I have found her and that she's amazing and that she is on my show this week. So we will be right back with Dr. Toni. And we are back with Dr. Toni Camacho. Dr. Camacho, thank you so much for being on my show. And I've just met you and I am thrilled that I get to share you with my audience.
Thank you so much for having me, Paula. I love being your guest today. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you. To give you a little bit of background, Toni started out, looks to me like in computers. She's got her PhD in psychology. And she also is an herbalist and has her own line, as well as she coaches Law of Attraction. So she's kind of, I love the word on your website. It says multidimensional, mm-hmm. right? So that could mean a myriad of things. It could mean you practice a lot of different, you know, modalities, or like you're on different planes of dimensions. I love the multidimensional. So I would love to hear your story, Toni, as far as how you got on this path, and then we're going to tell everybody how you help people. So tell us how you kind of got here, and because you've taken a lot of different roads.
I have. I think I have found myself to be very dualistic since I was young. I am very analytical, and that's where you see the computer side. But I also love helping people, and I love nature and all that natural stuff. And since I was very young, I was attracted to herbs and other forms of healing, and particularly for myself, because I never was able to take conventional medicine. Every time I took a medication, I had the side effect. You know that 0.01% of people have this? That was
me. Yes. I'm kind of like that too, right?
So I was looking for something natural that I could do for myself, because I'm like, what am I going to do if I ever get sick? And so that's what started me on my journey. And I really liked herbs. So that was the first thing. I started as a teenager looking into herbs. And then when I came to this, I loved it. But it wasn't professional. I was just interested in them. And then when I came to this country, I realized it's actually a field and people can have a degree in it and can study it. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go and check it out. And I loved it. I just fell in love with the whole herbs and what they can do for us and just nature, how they have given us everything we need to be healthy, including not just herbs, but also food. And that's what I discovered throughout time, that, yes, I first started with herbs, but then I realized, wait a minute, it's also what you eat that influence who you are and how healthy you are. So then I started studying nutrition. And I was in the middle of that journey when I realized, uh-oh, thoughts also influence our body. And so that's not, you know, not what I do. So then I decided to go back and to school and study psychology. And at first it was like, well, what do I do? What do I study? And I went towards the clinical and I started like an MFT, like a family therapy. And I didn't like that. Then I found that there's a field in psychology called transpersonal psychology, and that's more spiritual and holistic, and it's part of the humanistic psychology field. And so I went in that direction when I did my master's in Tibetan Buddhist psychology. So I
really
have like,
that is so exciting.
I loved it. It was amazing. So I learned a lot about mindfulness and meditation and other, not just Buddhism. It expanded at other religions and spiritual traditions and how they impact the body and the mind and how to help people heal. And so that was great, a great addition. And while I was in that process, I also decided, well, I realized that most people do not trust unless you have like a PhD. Especially in the area of the holistic environment.
You need initials after your name, don't you? For
exactly.
To have credibility, yeah.
So then I study a PsyD, which is a doctor of psychology degree. And I ended up at the end switching to a PhD in order to graduate faster. And so I just did the entire curriculum of the PsyD, and then I just graduated as a PhD in psychology. And I also decided to specialize in Tibetan psychology at the PhD level. So I had also the specialty of that. And so I love it because it comes together perfectly with the law of attraction and the herbs and the body. And that's where I came up with the multidimensional label, because everybody kept asking me, what do you do? I'm like, oh, and I had to rattle everything I do. And I'm like, how can I find one word that puts it together? And eventually I came up with that. I didn't invent the word multidimensional, but, you know, after researching words that will come together, I'm like, oh, that's perfect, because it is multidimensional. You are a body, you are a spirit, you are, you know, you're more than just, you're an energy. And so that's multidimensional. And so that's why, and that's, you need different modalities for that to heal completely. So that's where I grabbed that. I also like it because it goes beyond what I do. It also tells people who we are. We are multidimensional beings.
I love that.
So
it puts everything together. Well, so I, you know, I'm from Kansas, and we're pretty conservative when it comes to PhDs here, but, you know, to get a PhD in like with a Buddhist specialist, I love the fact that current science is now validating ancient masters, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all of the ancient teachings are now really being validated by science and our science, a PhD in psychology, as well as quantum physics and everything.
Exactly.
You know, I had horrible panic attacks about 15 years ago, and I started this behavioral cognitive, you know, what is it? Yeah.
CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, cognitive behavioral. And I started meditating, and I swear that's the first time in my life I ever meditated, or like my mind was quiet, because I'm just bossy and I talk all the time. And I just remember doing this meditation and going, whoa, it's almost like I was on, you know, some kind of drugs. And I started doing research and went back to the Buddha teaching, right? That's what resonated with me was the 2,000 to 3,000 year old things as opposed to the modern. And I love the fact that was your emphasis, because, I mean, it validates that information as well as it validates how the two are married together. Mm-hmm. So how long ago did you get your PhD?
I think it was like 14 years ago, I want to say. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes, because it took me a while not to complete the work. But then, you know, after you do the study and you have to do the famous dissertation in clinical study. And
right.
that takes years. So
you have to defend that. Yes,
yes,
absolutely.
Exactly. Well, and for us, we had to do a clinical study and also present it, write something. So it took about 2 years to write the dissertation. And my dissertation was on compassion and how compassion can impact a person's level of happiness. And so I love that.
And you know, you have to quantify that. Did you have two different groups of people you were studying? How did you do that?
So it was actually one group, but we measured their level of compassion and happiness before the study started. Uh-huh. And then you have then practice compassion for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. I don't remember the exact amount of time that we give them. And then you measure again, you give them that test. It's a quiz that measures both compassion and happiness. And then you compare. And then you do the data analysis to see if there was a shift in their level of happiness. Yeah.
So I love that you know, people think that there's something outside of them has to make them happy. Mm-hmm. But you teach that when you decide to be more compassionate, right, and more open, yes, to other people, that in and of itself raises your happiness level. Mm-hmm. I love that correlation. I love that. That's amazing.
And nowadays, it's there's a lot of science, because that's part of the positive psychology, which is a new field,
right,
relatively new field. And they're proving that self-compassion is essential also to be happy. So it's not just compassion for others, but also for yourself. And just understanding yourself and your limitations, and being kind and gentle with yourself in order to be happy. Self-acceptance is
People do that? That's a really good thing to focus on right now, because we're hard on ourselves because, yes, we're at home and we don't think we're getting enough done. And talk to us about self-compassion and how people can develop that more.
Well, a lot of it is being aware, right? The first step is awareness, and it's noticing when you are not being kind to yourself, and then looking for examples of how would you treat others in the same situation? Because as you notice, most of the time we're with our friends and they say, oh, I did this wrong. It's like, oh, you're okay. We tell them, you're okay. That's fine. We all make mistakes. But do we tell that to ourselves?
No, we slap ourselves around.
It's like, well, how could I be doing this all over again? You know, it's like, well, talk to yourself like if you were talking to a friend. You know, take that step. When you catch yourself saying something negative to yourself, stop and think. It's like, okay, what would I tell a friend in that situation? And then tell that to yourself. And also, I think a big part that has helped my clients is to understand that we are also animals. And as that, we have this certain behavior that is innate in us. Like, for example, to be stressed or to be anxious, it's natural. And instead of putting ourselves down because I'm always stressed and I'm always anxious, it's like, it's acknowledging, it's like, you know, that's part of being human. That's part of, like, all animals in the world have it. Humans have it. So, okay, I'm anxious. I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to try to do the best so I'm not anxious anymore, or take the necessary steps like cognitive behavioral therapy or meditation or something, you know, take a step forward towards changing yourself. But first tell yourself, it's okay. You know, it's okay that I made a mistake. You know, we all make mistakes. You know, it's just about stopping yourself and just being kind to yourself. There's a great exercise that I love, and I don't know if you ever heard it. It's called the mirror exercise.
Louise Hay did it a lot, where she talked to herself.
Yeah, it's similar, uh-huh, very similar to Louise Hay. And this is a 40-day exercise that you could do. And what you do is at the end of the day, you go and stand in front of the mirror and you tell yourself what you did well that day. And that includes from, I drank 2 glasses of water today. You know, maybe you wanted to do 4, but at least you did 2, right? So acknowledge what you did, which is like, oh, I drank 2 glasses of water. I didn't yell at my kids today, or I didn't yell as much. You know, just acknowledge that you did something. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, you brush your teeth, you got dressed. And,
those are big days for me. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're in front of the mirror and you're like, for example, for me, Tony, you did a wonderful today. You did your best. You brushed your teeth. You got up early. You meditated. You have a healthy breakfast. You had 4 glasses of water, and you just go on, you know, throughout the day. And obviously if you accomplish some goals and you're like, yeah, and I accomplished this goal, and you're doing amazing. And then at the end of that, you rattle everything you did well during that. You say, and Tony, I want to tell you that I love you and did your love very much. And then that's it. You end your day. So the science, I know, it is so simple. And it also makes you think and acknowledge the little things that we take for granted that we do every day. We're always thinking about the big things, you know, but the little things count, and they change your energy. You know, they get you positive. So then you attract more positive things into your life as well.
Because I love that, because we're made up of the little things. We think we've got to do the big goals. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, like you just said, the law of attraction says what you put your attention on, more comes.
Exactly.
And so you're subconsciously looking all day for things, mm-hmm, to pat yourself on the back about. And yes, guess what? You're going to find more things, mm-hmm, and you're going to do more things.
Exactly.
So I love that. And is there a reason 40 days? Does somebody figure that's the time frame, or is
that's what the statistics that they did in the study show? That that if you do it for 40 days straight, that you're completely a different, not completely, but you're a different person at the end of the 40 days. You feel you have higher self sense of self and self-compassion, and you change your life. And this is not a, oh, you miss a day now, you know, you're going to punish yourself, because then you go back to the to the same, not being self-compassionate. Just do the best that you can and don't count the days. Just do it. I think giving a person sometimes a finite time helps them focus.
I agree.
You know, I only have to do it for 3 more days or 4 more days. And then you find at the end that you really love it and you continue it, you know, or you just get through the hump, as if you tell them, I don't know when you're going to stop, then they feel like a little bit not as comfortable. And sometimes they do it and others don't. So just give them a defined, you know, a goal to reach helps ground the person and stay focused.
I love that, because we all need the goals. Just like we said, it's the small goals every day that help us, you know, to grow. And, you know, the self-compassion is your self-image, and we cannot be any better than our self-image allows us to be, right?
Exactly.
If we don't think we're worth it, if we think there's lack and scarcity in our lives and that we can't do anything, guess what? We're going to get more of that in our lives.
Exactly.
But this, this exercise, I just love it, because, you know, we spiral up, right? Our self-image spirals up. Very rarely do we go from zero, I'm a shit, to 100, I'm a genius, right? Very rarely do we do that. But we can do it a little bit at a time. So I love self-compassion really equals self-image, and self-image is the confidence, and that's the ability to know. I love it. I also love the 40 days that we can set a goal and we can accomplish it. And it's not like I'm not going to eat sugar for 40 days. That may be hard, but I can look in the mirror for 40 days.
Yes.
And I think it would be good to write yourself like a note, a post-it note. I love post-it notes. That's one of the things I give out, and put it on your mirror. So at night, we're always brushing our teeth right before we go to bed. And that can remind us to do that, right? To have compassion for ourselves.
Exactly.
I love that. I love that exercise.
I have on my mirror that you mentioned, Louis Hay, earlier. I used to love his her affirmation, life loves you. So I got like little like letter stickers, and I put them in my mirror, and it says life loves you, so that I can see it every day. And it's just a great affirmation.
And it is. We need to leave ourselves clues all day, every day, to stop that subconscious negative mind of ours, right? Because we're on autopilot 95% of our days. And so I think leaving ourselves clues. I have a now bracelet. So every time I look at it, I just take a big deep breath and quiet my mind and, you know, stay in the now and appreciate something, reach for gratitude. And because we're on autopilot, we don't even know that we are. We're in a negative space. Tell me how, so you got your PhD in this. So tell me how, was that your last step in this multidimensional of putting mind, spirit, body together? Or did you do something after that?
I'm always learning. I love it. I love learning, especially in this field. And I read about a week and a half a book. I mean, that's part of like my morning ritual to self-love and self-care. It's like, I have to have at least 20 minutes to read a book. It has to be positive as well. That's my rule. I meditate, I read a book, and I have positive music in the background. And I just, that way it just gets my day in a positive tone. And so I'm always learning. I'm looking for everybody that I can, you know, I love Joe Dispenza's work. And so I love him too. So I have studied his work a lot and all his meditations. And then I bring them into my practice as well to teach people what he teaches. And so I'm always looking for new ways of looking at the same thing, because to tell you the truth, everything is the same thing. Like you said, it's 2000 or 2,500 years old,
right?
But everybody's giving their twist. And there's, to me, it's like, there's so many people out there in the world that it's good to have different versions and different ideas, because some will resonate with others with ones and some resonate with others. So I love to have a lot of tools in my toolbox. So when I have clients, I kind of pay attention to see, are they spiritual? So should I bring like the Pema Chodron books or what, you know, more spirituality, or are they more law of attraction people? So then I go towards that. Or are they very scientific, because I attract those people as well because of my initial career, you know, the engineers and the scientists.
Oh, yes.
Then I stay with the science. And then I talk about meditation, not in a spiritual, but more like, what is the chemistry? What's happening in your body when you're meditating? Why is it good for you? How would your chemistry changes in the hormones that get impacted and your brain changes? So I stay within the realm of the person that that I'm working with. And so for that, for me to do that, I have to study a lot so I can have different tools for different people.
And you are multidimensional because, you know, a belief is so important. And so if you're talking to an engineer, a left brain, you know, computer geek, to be able to present science, right, to be able to present things to them that they can actually believe because there's validation helps them, right, on their journey to be able to embrace this difference and this change in their lives. You know, the neuroplasticity that Dr. Joe talks about, Dr. Bruce Lipton, I love him.
Oh, I love him too. Yes.
And I love the cellular science that the environment changes our cells and not the environment like outside of us, but the environment of our body, right? Actually changes our cellular structure. So you are multidimensional bringing all those things in.
Well, and then you have Greg Braden's work, which I love too.
I love Greg.
Right? Because now you have history and you bring everything, you know, ancient civilizations into the world. It's beautiful. I mean, to me, it's like, how can you now be multidimensional, right? When there's so much that to learn and so much out there that comes together. And it's great, great work.
And, you know, Greg Braden's work, it is based on science, but his is magical, right? Because he's taking all of the ancient tribes and all of that information and putting it together. And I love that. And I love all those three together.
Yeah.
So tell us how you are working with people now. Tell us how you bring all those things together. Do you first focus on their body with the herbs and the nutrition or?
Yeah. So I talk to a person and I look for their pressing issue. And right now with COVID, the majority of people is stress and anxiety and trying to cope with the new world that we have right now. And we want to call it the new environment that we're dealing with and adapting to that. And it was very shaking it shook people a lot. Their life changed completely with COVID. And so a lot of what I'm dealing with is stress, but like I said, everything is holistic. So they sometimes come with, I have this IBS or stomach problem or these headaches or I can't sleep. And then we trace it back to is the way you're thinking, right? And the way you live. And so if they do have something pressing in their body, that's where I start, which to be honest, that's what the majority of people come to me. They have some sort of a symptom and then we kind of like start disassembling it. And I try to help them with the herbs and I have a line of products that I design. And the reason why I designed it is because herbs are really effective. They're highly effective products if you know how to use them and how to extract them, how to formulate it.
Yes.
And so that's very critical. Otherwise, you get like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. And the majority of the time is because people don't know. They just Google and they think because it's natural, I can Google and I can take turmeric for this and I can take cinnamon for that and garlic. But there's a beauty in these plants. They're alive. And when you bring them together, they create a different chemistry, a different purpose. And knowing how to do that and creating the right herbs for the right conditions, it's just a beautiful thing. And it makes them more effective. It's also knowing how to take them and how much to take. The majority of the things you buy at the store are very low doses and they're not going to do anything. And so I give them, you know, when you go to the store, you get like the little droppers and it's 40 drops, or I give them a teaspoon instead of a 40 drops. A 40 drops is not going to do much. You know, if you do a teaspoon, that's a medicinal dose. Or with the teas, those little bags at the store, they just flavor your water. They're not medicinal. Yeah, you know, you have to take like 14 or between 7 and 14 ounces of herb, which is like a handful, in order to actually make it medicinal. And then you have to know how to make the tea, not just put water and make it soak. You gotta, are you dealing with barks? Are you dealing with flowers? Are you dealing with fruits? What is it? Because the chemistry is different and also they're how hard they are. So then you need to extract them in a different way. And so knowing all of that makes the medicine more efficient. And when I first started my practice, I used to tell people, buy this herb, that herb, and blah, blah, blah. And I noticed that they don't always work. And so I just study how to make medicine. And since I did that, it's like my practice just skyrocketed because my plants always work.
I love that. So do you have a big pot going on right now in your kitchen? Are you boiling bark? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, are you got a big cauldron and you're a witch or what are you doing?
Well, it's funny that you say that because my boyfriend says that. He comes in the house sometimes. He's like, I don't know what to think. You know, I walk into the stove and there's like things that are boiling and, you know, bubbling, and it smells kind of weird. And then I look at you and you're at the other side at the counter with like, you're measuring things and you're extracting, you're looking at the chemistry, and it's like, science or witch? It's like,
you know what? I think they're the same. I honestly, I think that, that we have bridged that gap, right?
Yes.
Exactly. Because there's a reason that the ancients knew some of these things, right?
Exactly.
Because they worked, and we've lost that knowledge. And thank goodness that mm-hmm. it's coming back, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love the fact that you said there's a beauty and that they're alive. These are living organisms that you're putting together.
Exactly.
You know, how many times does it say on our prescription bottles, don't take this with this and this and this, right?
Uh-huh.
Those are chemists. That's chemistry. That's things that are interacting with other things.
Uh-huh.
And for you to know that that these things interact differently, I think that's brilliant, and to help the people.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, and it's beautiful. If people would like to learn about herbs, I highly recommend like professionally doing it, not just studying like, oh, this herb works for this or that. Like I said, it's just knowing how to formulate and bring them together. And a lot of it starts with reverence, right? I make sure that my herbs are always harvest sustainably, and that they're not being damaged and the environment is not being damaged as part of it. And just reverence. When I receive my herbs, I just bless them and give them thanks for all the people that they're going to help, including myself and my family, because we all take them. And it's just, they're beautiful, and they come together. You know, I've been working with people with COVID, and people tell me, well, I mean, heal me from COVID. You know, I'm not allowed to say that. But,
I know. But,
you know,
it's an energy thing. They got much more, better energy out of this whole thing.
Exactly. And it's it is the plants, because you have a plant that's alive with a virus that's alive. And so it's a different way of.
Wow. So are they sourced? Do you get all of your herbs from certain sources, like, you know, who they are?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So only reputable companies that I use, and they're out there, like Star West is one of them. Mountain Rose Herbs is another one. And Pacifico Botanicals is another place. That those three places, I know that when they say organic, they mean it. When they say well-crafted, they well-crafted without hurting the environment. And they don't have pesticides. They're fresh, and, because that's also very important. If the plant is old, it's not going to work. So you have to know that that is fresh, and high quality herbs will produce high quality products. And so those places, anybody can go and buy. I have a wholesale account, obviously, but they also sell for everybody retail. Mm-hmm. And so then I bring them home, and I have a lab downstairs, and that's when I extract them.
So
in alcohol.
You really do have a lab downstairs.
I have to, because, like, again, each plant has different chemical constituents, and you need to know how to extract. Some require more water, some require more alcohol, some require a little bit of an acid in it. It just depends what you're after from the plant. If you want the alkaloid, then you got to make sure that there's some acid in there, so it will get extracted. And so some people are trying to extract tea with plants that are not water soluble. So what are they getting? You know, they're getting tainted, you know, painted water with some flavor, but they're not getting the actual chemistry that they need from that plant. So you need to understand a little bit of the plant. Not much. I'm not a chemist, but just a little bit.
Well, first of all, do you ever get raided because they think you're making things you're not supposed to make? And second of all, no. So did you go to school to learn how all of these things went together? Because you're an herbalist, right?
I'm an herbalist, yes. I'm a registered herbalist too. So not just an herbalist.
Okay.
So I'm registered with the American Herbalist Guild, which not a lot of people have that. You had to pass an exam. And
so there was courses you took, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this.
Yes.
Was that prior to getting your PhD, during this time? Was it?
It was all in between. I was just going back and forth between the two things. Yeah.
And you said before you moved here, where did you live before you moved to the United States?
In Mexico.
Okay. And how old were you when you came up here?
26.
And is that, you came up here to do the engineering, computer science, left brain?
Yes. I had a working visa with that. Yes. There was a lot. There was a huge need back then. I think it was 2001 when that happened, that they needed a lot. 2000,
wow.
Around 2000. They needed the dot-com boom. They needed a lot of developers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I came in as a software developer. Mm-hmm.
And was there one instance where you said, okay, this left brain thing is not working for me? Well, it is, because you're still using it.
I still use it
for everything, yeah. Right? But yeah. But that you said, I needed more. There's something more that I need to bring in. Was there one instance?
Yeah. So I was, I had adrenal fatigue when I was 30, and I didn't realize until then that I had symptoms of the adrenal fatigue. Like it was a small symptoms, like signs of it, but I didn't know. Like for example, I had low blood sugar around my 22, 23. I started experiencing low blood sugar and I didn't know. And so I started eating a lot of protein to balance the blood sugar imbalances, but then I caused problems because I was eating too much protein, you know, learning how to balance everything. That's when I started studying nutrition to learn how to balance. But the adrenal fatigue was a very low point for me because I was so tired that I could barely get up in the morning and I could barely stay awake for a couple of hours. And my son was 1 year old and I couldn't even pick him up. He just fell off my arms because he was heavy. It was just too much. I couldn't walk more than 200 feet. And so that's when I'm like, okay, I decided to look into how do I heal. And I already had studying herbal medicine. So I started taking adrenal support herbs and I started changing my diet and exercise. And it took me about 9 months to actually be functional that I could walk. Yeah, it was a long time that I could start walking more, like 2 or 3 miles and do other stuff. In addition, I had post-traumatic stress that got got triggered from issues from childhood. And so I started going to therapy and that's when I started questioning, well, why am I here? What am I doing? And even though I love my engineering work, I didn't feel like I was contributing to the world. It was making companies get richer, right? But nothing for me or for the rest of the world. So here I am working like 12, 18 hour days and and I'm not making a change. And I have always felt like I needed to make a change in the world that I just don't want to. Mm-hmm.
That you're here for a reason. There's a purpose,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And so that's how I started. I decided to, okay, what do I love the most? That's one of the things that my therapist asked me. And I said, well, I like herbs. She's like, well, go study herbs, you know, go see. So that's when I went and signed up for the certification for the herbs. And then I loved it. And I loved the nutrition. And then nutrition took me to energy medicine. And I became a Reiki master. And then I started studying Chinese medicine. And all of a sudden, it just one thing led to another. And then I went to psychology and Buddhism. And it's just that's how it was like a low point in my life, right? It's just that I needed to, I felt when I was sick, I just felt like I didn't want to go on. It's like, I can't, if I can't function, why am I here?
Right. Well, number one, you just gave me goosebumps. And number two, I think it's such a good example of when something really bad is going on with our lives, it is a great time for us to look around and say, what is this trying to teach me, right?
Exactly.
Because if you hadn't gone through that low part, you may not have been motivated to mm-hmm. do everything you're doing to help all these other people. So I think it's when we look back, we go, you know, like, you know, Steve Jobs says you can't connect the dots going forward. You can only connect them going back. Right. And when you go back and you go, oh my God, there was a reason that I had mm-hmm. adrenal fatigue that I couldn't even pick up my little one. Mm-hmm. It's because I needed to wake up. Yeah. I love your awareness. I needed to be aware that there was something bigger going on mm-hmm. and that you put all the pieces together. A lot of people just go in one direction and say this, but you put all the pieces together. I mean, you're multidimensional. There's your word again.
Yeah. So it, you're right. We don't know until we get past it, but it is a good idea to question it. And that's even the little thing. Sometimes I will have a problem at work or I will perceive it as a problem because it's not going the way I expected it to go. And so I often, if I'm quick enough, I stop and say, well, I wonder what's going to happen afterwards. That's good. What's coming my way? Sometimes I can quickly stop myself from the issue and look forward for something. And other times I don't, you know, like most people, I just sit there. I'm like, I don't want to go through this. And you fight it and you fight it. And then, but I noticed that now it's pretty quick when I stop myself and I'm like, okay, I wonder what's coming. That is best. That is that it's going to be fun or new that has taken me in this direction. And I just let go of that attachment that I had to how things should be, you know, or which the Buddhists used to say, you know, you can go through life kicking and screaming, or you go through the grace, right? So
kicking and screaming is something I did a lot. Yeah. But, you know, and to become the observer, right? To step back and get, like Eckhart Tolle says, who's the one doing, you know, who's the one watching the watcher, right?
Exactly.
Who's the one watching it going on? And, you know, just to be aware that you can sit back a little bit and say, you know, let me look around and see what this is. And, you know, one of the things you said, what you resist persists, right?
Exactly.
When we resist it, when we fight it, and believe me, I was a divorce attorney, right? For 40 years. And when I'm a fighter, man. And when I would fight it, the energy you're putting out, but boy, it's the word surrender, right? You just kind of have to say, okay, this is what's going to happen. And I'm just going to surrender to what's going on. And be that objective observer and just kind of see what other opportunities come. Because, you know, when we try to control what's going on in our environment, out in our outside environment, that's when I love it. The stress that because we're like you said, we're animals. It's a fight or flight, man. We're going to fight with you.
If we think we're
being attacked, if we think we're not safe. And right now people don't think they're safe.
Exactly.
Right. And so they put up these barriers and they're trying to fight the outside. So what could you tell people that are in that position right now, that they feel like they're not safe, that they have to fight the outside? What could you tell them to do?
I think the first thing to do is to stop watching the news.
I love you. Okay. You are my new best friend. You know, and the news, and I got to tell you, I got to stick people off of my Facebook account too. I just got to get happy, fun people. But
exactly. Yeah, it is I'm not saying to be ignorant or to not watch the news at all, but minimize. I was telling my mom, it's like, at one point, that's a stop being the news. The news is when you hear it once and it's new to you. And I'm like,
oh,
I'm informed. But, you know, you start the morning and by the end of the day, because a lot of people have the news on all day, it's like, it's not news anymore. You've been hearing the same thing over and over and over and over. And I was telling my son.
Programming. There's a reason they call it programs.
Exactly.
They're programming you. Yes.
Exactly. And that's what I was telling my son. Hear the voices, the way they speak. They speak with a sense of urgency, drama, like negativity. And so they're getting your nerves, you know, hyper.
Yeah.
And now you're like susceptible and hearing that. But it's even in the way they're delivering. And why don't they do good news? There's a lot of good stuff going on, but they're focused on the negative.
And here you're waiting. They're putting this, like you said, urgency, but they're putting this fear out there and you keep waiting for them to give you an answer.
Exactly.
And there's no answer. It's just another hour of something else. And you know what? You are the answer, right? I am the answer. This is the answer. Taking care of your body, taking care of your mind. And body is so important, but don't you think the very first thing that we need to help people understand is their thoughts, that they can control that thought, because they at least have to have the thought that they know they're going to eat better, right?
Exactly.
They've got to have the thought that there's other answers and how can I find these herbs or these other answers? So guarding our thoughts and guarding that consciousness of ours, that's, and listening, right? Being quiet. You know,
absolutely. And you're right. I mean, you have to think, like you said, take the first step. I'm going to eat better or I'm not going to stress. But also thoughts, like, as you mentioned earlier, they affect your physical body immediately.
Yes.
And so if you're stressing yourself, you're over not knowing what's going to happen, which, let's be honest, nobody knows what's going to happen.
Right.
Control is an illusion. And then knowing that we want to know when things are going to happen. Nobody knows. We have an estimate and that can change. When you realize that nothing's under your control and just estimates and you just let go, life becomes easier.
Yes.
Than trying to make things happen. Then you're mad because it didn't happen when you expected, and it's just a little, you know, cycle. But going back to what you were saying about how that chemistry impacts your body, and then your immune system goes weak, and then now you are exposed to more virus or other illnesses because of being stressed. And I have this. Have you seen the Inner Balance, that HeartMath?
I love heart math out of California where you're at. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Have you used that little machine?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't. I was at a Greg Braden conference and they were selling the heart math. They had the heart math director up there, but no, I haven't. Tell us about that.
So, and I'm going to tie it where you were saying with your thoughts, because okay. I love it. Because again, being a person of science, yes, I can meditate all I want and pretend or think or feel that I'm doing okay and that my body is healthy and that my mind is clear. But because I'm a scientist, I love that little machine because it gives you feedback to see if you really are incoherent in a coherent mode. And so I have, you plug it into your ear and it's taking your pulse and it's checking your heart, you know, and then it plugs into your phone. And I'm meditating, you know, I'm like relaxed. And then I think about something negative, like it doesn't even take 2 seconds and it beeps immediately.
Oh, it's wow. Like, no, I'm going to have to get that, because coherence for everybody out there is when your head and your heart are together, right?
Yes. And you can have just heart coherence or brain coherence or both coherence between them. But when you are coherent, that means that your body's functioning correctly because it's going in a coherent, you know, in a normal way. When we're under stress, we are not coherent. Our heart rate our heart rate variability changes, and also our brain waves. And so this machine is giving you feedback when you're not coherent versus when you're coherent. And so it's
immediate feedback, right?
It's immediate. So
it's like they're giving you an electric prod, which they're not,
exactly.
Right? But they're because how many times am I doing this? Like I'm meditating and all of a sudden, you know, 30 seconds into it, I am arguing with somebody in my head.
Exactly.
I go down that road, right? We don't even know we're going down that road. And then, uh-huh. You know, so what a great idea. I'm going to get on there and order that because it gives you immediate feedback, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It beeps like that. When I first got it, it's like, okay.
Okay, be quiet. I'm trying to meditate.
I'm trying to meditate here. And you're telling me that
guess what? You're not really meditating, right?
Right. As soon as your thoughts are another place, you stop chasing thoughts, because if you're not doing with that machine, you could be 30 seconds, five minutes into that
minutes,
thought.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Versus beep. I'm like, oh, let me go.
You know, I mean, sometimes I'm done with my meditation. I get done. I'm more exhausted than I was when I started because my mind had just been going crazy. Right.
Exactly.
I love that idea that it gives you, you know, it gives you that immediate feedback. Mm-hmm. So how important do you think meditation is?
It's very, very, to me, it's essential. And it's one of the things that keeps me going. There's different aspects of meditation. And I think people separate it. And that's when it becomes not as good. Is when people say, oh, I'm only doing it to reach enlightenment or to be spiritual. And other people do it just to be healthy. And it's like, it's everything. It's
right,
everything.
Right.
We were talking about, it's like when you're meditating, if you're coherent, then your body's going to be healthy. Your mind is going to be healthy. Your spirit is going to be healthy. And so it is key. And if you start the morning with a meditation and you organize and say, this is how I'm going to start the day, what a wonderful day. You get up and you're in a positive mode and your energy is up and you feel good and happy. And, you know, then the rest of the day goes like that, as opposed to being angry or.
Well, yeah. And it's really when you're meditating, even if it's just for one breath in and one breath out, right? There's mm-hmm. a stronger connection to source, you know, like mm-hmm. Abraham Hicks says, you know, it's that alignment with source.
Yeah.
And we can't do it when our brains are going crazy, mm-hmm. right? And we're arguing with everybody and including ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, meditation, I think, is that alignment with source that your intuition and this knowing and this ability to control that next thought, because mm-hmm. a thought automatically creates a frequency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that frequency is that emotion. And normally it's stress and it's fear and it's doubt, right? And if we can control that moment and that, mm-hmm. that one thought and think we're okay right now, because normally nothing bad happens in the now, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. 95% of the things we worry about don't even happen, you know? And so if we can just stop worrying and trust, you know, trust in ourselves.
I love that.
And trust,
you know,
in the world.
The faith, yeah. Right. And the knowledge that everything's going to be okay, I used to go on what I would call my wonder walk in the morning. And, you know, 45 minutes later, I'd come back and I'm pissed because all I did was worry the whole time, right?
Exactly.
You know, so my husband called it the worry walk, you know, because I'm not staying in nature. I do love when you talked about nature, you know, especially I'm in the Midwest, and we have had that horrible cold spell, right? We haven't been outside in 10 days and especially in the winter, but here in San Diego, so it's beautiful all the time, but just getting outside in nature, even if it's crummy out, right? I'd feel differently when I walk outside.
Yeah. Fresh air. I do it too. Even if cold for us, right?
do not talk to me about that.
No, I'm like, oh my God, it's in the 60s. And I grab like a big jacket.
Oh my God. We were negative 29 this last week. So,
but it's the fresh air and just getting some sun. Sun is great.
And here's the other thing. This is so silly, but I love trees, right? Mm-hmm, and even when I'll go on a walk, and my husband, I mean, he kind of like puts his sunglasses on. I hope nobody notices, but I'll go up and hug a tree.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an energy outside, right? There's an energy outside.
Yes, I do that too. Or if there's a lot of people, I just lean on against a tree and you're just feeling that energy. Yeah, but I love trees too. I love trees.
The Hidden Life of Trees. Have you read that book?
I have it, and I
go read it. It's amazing how they communicate to each other and how there's energy. And you read that, and you got to know that everything in the universe is connected on how this Hidden Life of Trees is. It is such a great book, and I'm a huge reader.
Yeah,
Tony, I thank you so much. We're almost out of time, and I thank you so much for your time. I love your energy and your information and what you have done with your life and how you've put it all together for everybody. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and how they can work with you.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. And anybody can go to my website at www.dsanddavidr.com. So it's drtonycamacho.com. That's the website.
And it has different ways to work with you. They can do counseling. They can do the herbalistic things. They can do all those things with you, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I think you also have a podcast.
I do. And it's on my website. So if you just go to my website, when you go into the homepage, there's a button that says listen to the podcast for free. And you can just click on it and it'll take you there.
Cool. Well, Tony, thank you so much for your information and for your energy. And also thank you for showing up in this world. We need more people like you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Paula. Thank you for having me.
And we will be right back. And we are back. Wasn't she amazing? I absolutely love her. I love her energy as well as her information and her education. I mean, coming from a left-brained profession of being an engineer, computer analysis, to understanding the bigger picture and getting her PhD in psychology, as well as the nutrition and the herbalist, and the energy work that she does with Reiki. She is the real deal. And I'm very pleased that I was able to connect with her and get you this information this week. Because, you know, we are still dealing with outside influences that are trying to bring fear and stress into our lives. And please know that the energy and the power comes from within, that when we're connected to source and when we understand the information that I teach, that Dr. Tony teaches, that all the other masters out there teach, that we have control over our lives and over our futures, because it's going to be a wonderful future. And I'm so thrilled to be able to share this time with you and the information with you. And I'm so thrilled to be on this journey with you. So as Ram Dass always says, we are just walking each other home. And I am pleased that I get to hold your hand and be on this journey with you. So until next week, this is Paula Kid Casey, and I am the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kid Casey on Lawyer of Attraction radio show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.